Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. So I believe this is graduation weekend for some of you. Do we have any graduates here? Anyway, we got a few. There's one. I know Kendra's also a graduate. She's our high school graduate. She's going to St. Ed's next Austin. But yeah, congrats to all the graduates. I had the opportunity to actually graduate last weekend. Thank you. Up in North Park Seminary, which is in Chicago. So that's been like a overall 5-year journey, just of like doing school part-time while doing this full-time. And got myself a Master's of Divinity, which most, if anyone's been to grad school, you realize you're just not really a master of anything. If anything, you realize there's just so much you don't know. And so much more that you have to learn. So in some ways, I wish there was a less expensive, less time-intensive way to come to that conclusion. But it's still, having said that, it was a great experience. Did a lot of self-learning, did a lot of, just had a lot of good training just for ministry. So I really appreciate my wife, Rachel, and the kids, especially all they had to go through over the last 5 years. And you know, they're the ones that actually deserve this a little more than I do. And for you too, the Vox community, just your support over this crazy journey. So going to have a little more free time. So looking for some hobbies, if any of you have suggestions. Trying to also reintegrate back into my own family. I think my kids are wondering, who's this strange man just hovering all the time, like wanting to play? Like, who's this guy? But we're looking forward to this new season. But this morning, and as we do once a year, we welcome in some new covenant members who have chosen to partner and collaborate with this Ragamuffin community, with this church. And we use that word intentionally, this word covenant member. You know, when we think of membership, a lot of times it's something that benefits us, whether it's, you know, a gym membership or Costco membership. I love Costco. But it's something that is for our benefit. And that's why we then end up in this culture of contracts, right? The contract exists as a way to protect self, right? It's always about the fine print. You know, if you don't read the fine print, you know, you're going to get screwed. So this idea of just protecting self exists in this, you know, contract-driven world. Whereas a covenant, right? A covenant is a relational agreement where it exists for the sake of the other person, where it exists for the benefit of the other. And so, you know, we've seen that throughout scripture, you know, how God covenants with people, with Noah, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And these covenants were always for the benefit of these people. And we see with Jesus when he comes to this earth, that's really, it was a benefit for us, his death, resurrection. You know, he kind of gave his disciples and told them, this is a new covenant that I'm giving you, right? And this relational agreement for the sake of us, for the sake of the other person. And so we hope as a church, you know, as a community, that we would be grounded on this idea of covenant. You know, whether it's covenant with God, covenant with each other, covenant with our city, with our neighborhood, that who we are and the relationships that we establish are really for the benefit of the other. And so this morning, we're going to get to hear three stories, just of some the members that are going to be joining this community. And so first up, I'm going to ask Jetta to come up, Jetta Bragg. And Jetta just came back from Big Bend this week, right? Which is where this picture's from. Been working out a little bit too, right? Yeah, looking good. Yeah. let me get you a mic. So maybe tell us just a little bit about yourself, kind of where you're from, you know, what you do now here.
My name is Jetta. I'm from Sulphur Springs, Texas, Northeast Texas. It's so very different from where we live here. Currently working at Cuvée Coffee Bar on East 6th Street and studying EMT paramedic stuff. And keeping it open-ended after that, not sure which way I'm going to take it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy working at Cuvée?
Yeah, I can dig it.
Do you still get a lot of feedback about the whole Wi-Fi thing?
Yeah, they're bitter. People are bitter about their Wi-Fi.
That's what I figured.
It feels pretty good to say we don't have it.
There's a lot of good reasoning behind it, right? So maybe tell us a little bit about kind of your journey, how you initially, your story, how that intersected with the story of Christ and kind of that initial journey for you.
I feel like my story's been intersecting with Christ my entire life. I grew up in the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth events, church camps, you know, all that good stuff. I went to a private Christian school in Arkansas, Harding University. But ultimately, I feel like I've seen a lot from my parents. And my mom, is her gratitude is unshakable. And her outlook on life is very positive. And my dad's has really lived a great life of service. And there was never much talking to, but just a lot of example being shown, just living. And growing up in the church, Church of Christ, see a lot of what to do and what not to do. And it was a good one.
Yeah. And you were telling me, like, with your dad especially, you know, he had a huge impact. And even now today, mm-hmm. like, you're seeing in his life aspects of his faith that are kind of shaping and even challenging what you hope for. You want to share a little bit of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm biased, but I think my dad's the coolest. But even to this day, growing up, strangers were brought into the house with, you know, and people had their cars broken down on the side of the road. And to this day, I still see him digging. He's 63, but he still opens up the word and tries to understand it. And his faith and his ideas and perspectives are even changing. And he still goes to the Church of Christ, but I don't think it's not the exact same kind of beliefs as then, but it's just refreshing to see someone who would be set in their ways at such an age is still open-minded and still trying to grow. And that's, I hope to live like that.
Yeah. Just to kind of carry that discovery, that value of discovery through even, you know, old age is a big,
definitely,
big component of faith. And then, you know, you said you had gone to Mexico, I think, after college, and you had an experience there and that really kind of impacted you.
Yeah.
How was that experience and how did that impact you?
I was in Mexico in 2009 and 2010, working with a church plant there that it had been planted in 2004. And it was a time of growing. My faith really went through the fire. It was through a missionary program. And, you know, the missionaries I was working with, I was working inside the church, working with midweek groups, but a lot of it was the idea of going out into the city and doing evangelism and just, you know, trying to talk to people about what I believed and maybe bringing them to church. And I really started thinking about, made me question how much do I believe it and the way I'm going about it. And it was really tough to have to try and shift somebody's perspective completely, like a paradigm shift in their beliefs. And it became a frustration for me in the end. And what it turned into was just being relational, just going out and making more friends and just being there for others. And I've still got friends there and still try and go back and visit. It's pretty far. It's like right in the middle of Mexico, but it was a great time, difficult, but great.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of this idea that you kind of realized was presence was more important than necessarily like belief statements or, you know, things that they needed to agree with.
Yeah. Yeah. Just talking, just getting to know somebody rather than trying to sit there and change their ideas on something. And just being a friend and growing and learning about them, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, we have this understanding that God is relational. You know, so theologians talk about this mystery called incarnation, where, you know, God entered into humanity. So he became one of us, essentially. And so faith then is not about agreeing to statements or agreeing to a set of beliefs as much as God wants to be known through relationship. And, you know, just hearing your story and kind of the things that resonate for you, I think a theme really is relationships and community. That's a big part of who you are, a big part of, you know, what faith means to you. You know, maybe share how, you know, kind of your journey out of that and then how you ended up connecting with Vox.
I left Mexico really frustrated with God, the Bible, the church, and then just a little confused about things, what I truly believed. And then went back to Lubbock and was doing some sports psych research that kind of fell through and ended up in the oil field and worked in oil and gas for a couple of years. And that was a very depressing time. And I was out months at a time. And, you know, it was difficult. I was alone and didn't have much community going on out there. And it was at some point in time, a good friend, Travis Perkins, Tim's here. He invited me to come out to Austin. My dad went to A&M and basically told me that Austin's the worst city ever and still considers me weird for living here. But I was really surprised to find a place here and to find out how welcoming it was. And he brought me to Vox. And my mind... it was really cool to see a space where I could just be. But at the same time, I was still working, and it was really difficult to dig into relationships, even though I really wanted it. I wouldn't, and I would just fly under the radar and just be here and listen, but I couldn't dig in to making friends or building relationships like I wanted. And, yeah, difficult time for sure.
And then you finally got connected with a midweek group. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, how was that formative for you?
Oh, crucial. We've been going for about 2 years now. And, yeah, just a small core group of guys that meets every Thursday. And... it was that really like set the pace where, you know, we were always together. We would see each other here and we would talk to each other. And then it grew from there and went outwards. And really, really a good way of doing things and still working on it, still growing.
And so just hearing kind of the season you're in right now, just, you know, having space to explore, having space to ask questions and to figure them out kind of on your terms, in your time, and in your approach. What's kind of your hope as far as, you know, covenanting with the Vox community? What are some of your hopes for that?
It'll be challenging. It's a little scary for me personally to covenant. There's some weight to it for sure. And I like open-ended things where I can just kind of come and go as I please. But I'm really into that. I think it's important for me now to dig in a little bit more. I think what I'm looking forward to is building on those relationships with the friends that I've made and the families that I've met and walking with them through life and with God.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, Jeddah.
Yeah.
And if any of you guys are ever near Cuvée on 6, make sure you swing by. He can make you a cup of coffee, right? Slings and just don't compare. Don't complain about the Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah. No complaint.
Thanks, Jeddah. Next, we have Autumn Barker. Hey, Autumn.
Hi.
That's a great picture. That was from last week, or a couple weeks ago, on from the baby dedication. But tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, you know, what you do, where you're from.
I'm originally from Washington State, but moved to Texas when I was too young to remember living in Washington State. My mom is born and raised Texan. My dad's from Japan, and so she had family base here, and so we came, and I've lived in this area pretty much ever since.
What do you do here in Austin?
I am an acupuncturist. It's kind of hard to describe what I do. It's involved.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah. So tell us about your story, kind of how your own journey intersected with sort of the story of Christ.
Oh, I also grew up in a Christian home, and I was baptized when I was, I don't know, 6 or 7. I don't really remember it, but my mom had told me that it was the only way we could all be together when we died. And so I was terrified. I was like, I don't want to not be with my family. But there's a lot to that explanation that's missing. So when I was 16, I was baptized again, wanting to do so, understanding this time what I was doing. And I grew up in this church, like what Jetta said, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday nights, until I graduated high school. But I never really felt a part of that church. I always kind of felt outside, and I fought with my youth leader like crazy. We were both just really hard-headed, and there were a few times I felt really hurt by my preacher. So after I graduated high school, I moved out on my own a week later, and my parents moved to North Carolina a week after that. So nobody made me go to church, so I didn't, and I didn't for years. But then in my mid-20s, I kind of felt that calling to come back to church.
So kind of in that season when you were away, like what were some things that maybe happened to kind of bring you back into community, or kind of show you the value of community?
Well, before I started going back, I took baby steps back to church, going to a Unitarian church where my cousins went, because I just felt like I'd lived a really wild life up until that point, and it was time to just, I was feeling the call, and I was feeling like the people around me were not helping me grow in any way. So I wanted to kind of change gears. So I also didn't really feel part of that church, but I didn't really make any effort to. And I felt like there was a lot missing. And if you would say the name Jesus, people would get really like upset. So I quit going there. and then was called, like I found that I was really missing a spiritual community after our son was born, as he had something called craniosynostosis. So the bones in his head were fused before he was born, and it had to be surgically corrected. And we found out he was diagnosed with this when he was about 5 days old. And the surgery would take place when he was 9 months old. So they had to take all the bones off his head, cut them into new shapes, and put them back on. And the 9 months leading up to that, I was just an emotional wreck and had a lot of support from my family, a lot of support from friends, but still found that I was like really going to these dark places in my mind, like what if something happens? And my sister lives in California, and she's really my best friend, and her whole church was praying. And I was like, well, I don't really have that here. I don't have a church for myself here that's praying. And so after the surgery, I realized like, oh yeah, I really need some spiritual community in my life.
Yeah. And then, so how did you end up getting connected here at Vox?
So one of my best friends from when we were 12 years old went here, and I didn't know the name of the church where they went, but that her husband liked it. And that was pretty surprising because he didn't seem like, growing up with him too, he was like, I'll never go to church. So that he found a place was, I was like, okay, I'm going to check it out. But I didn't, again, know the name. So I just started Googling Eastside churches and I found this place. And my first day here, they weren't here, but another couple I knew was here. I was like, well, that's really nice. On the first day I was here, it was December 28th of 2014. And it was a day that they did Lectio Divina. And I was really, had never approached scripture like that. And it was a really just very thoughtful way to do it. And I really connected with that. And then I found out it was the church that my friends went to. So that was even better.
Yeah. And kind of hearing your story, there's, mm-hmm. you know, there's sort of this theme of healing.
Yeah.
Right. Cause, you know, just being healed from your hurts from the church, mm-hmm. Having your son experience healing from his medical condition. Mm-hmm. And even for you as your vocation, kind yeah. of your passion to bring healing to others. And so, you know, as an acupuncturist, is that what you call them? Acupuncturist.
Yes.
You know, how has that shaped kind of your understanding of faith? Because there's this idea of holistic healing. Mm-hmm. Like, how has that mm-hmm. kind of even affected your spiritual practices or your understanding of faith?
Oh, I feel like having faith opens up this whole space for healing. That it's not there if you're not open to it. And one of my professors would always tell us, you have to heal someone's spirit with your own spirit. So make sure you have a good practice that sustains you. And so the first part of my practice, I didn't really have that. And I was like really scattered and then stuff with our son. I was all over the place. But I've definitely noticed having this weekly like spiritual recharge has helped me, as people will tell me these really heavy, intense emotional experiences. And I found that it was really weighing on me and I didn't have a much of a way to process this. And so being here has helped me with that a lot. And just seeing within my patients how much their emotional, spiritual health has this really profound impact on their physical health mm. has been really eye-opening for me as well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mystery to that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like so much mystery. Like I was saying, it's hard to explain what I do. And I told you before, I might as well say I'm a wizard because it's really weird thing, because there's so much mystery to it and you can't always describe. People say, well, how does this work? And it's, I don't really have a good answer for that. It's just this mysterious thing, but I see it working and they see it working, and it's
yeah. And that resonates within your own expression and mm-hmm. of mystery in your expression of faith,
right?
And trying to understand who
yeah.
God and who Christ is.
Yeah,
yeah. And I really like you describing sort of coming to, you know, Sunday kind of this rhythm and bringing a lot of that heaviness. And I think for us, you know, when we talk about liturgy, you know, our hope isn't that this is just some sort of hyper celebratory environment, because there is a space for joy and there needs to be joy. But at the same time, I think all of us come to liturgy, come to Sunday as a community from whatever place we've been in during the week. And that's what we should bring. And that's who we are as we come to worship together. And I feel like that really captures that idea of why the rhythm of coming to liturgy is so important.
Yeah.
And then maybe for you, what's kind of your hope as you covenant with Fox?
Well, it's like we were talking about being a small business owner and a parent. I feel like time is the most precious thing in the world. There's just not much of it. So for me, being in a covenant means giving that time that I normally would be like so guarded about, and giving it willingly and happily, and becoming more of a participant and less of an observer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And if any of you have questions about acupuncture, the mysteries of it, the benefits of having needles put
sure.
in you, good kinds of needles.
Good needles.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Autumn.
Thank you.
And then last up, we have the Patillos, Amy and John Patillo. And just to kind of give him some recognition, he's actually the one that put up all the sunshades yesterday. They keep falling down, and it's not getting any cooler, but he did that yesterday, so I think we really, really appreciate that. So how about yourselves? Tell us a little bit about you guys, your family. It's got a fun little picture. I just pulled that off Facebook, so sorry if that's embarrassing.
We were wondering which picture it would be. That's cute. I'm Amy. I'm from Austin, grew up here all my life, was born at St. David's Hospital, had my son at St. David's Hospital. So he and I are both, I guess, true native Austinites, the unicorns.
Yes.
I think we are. During the week, I practice as an attorney, and I also split my time between being a mother now, being a wife, and helping lead a community group that we lead, and I lead a women's Bible study. I like to propagate succulents and make broth as well.
Some handy skills that you have.
Yeah. Oh, and my name's John. My dad was born in St. David's, so with my wife, not at the same time.
That would be a little awkward.
It's a progressive city. Sorry, Jeddah, wherever you are. No, I am also here from, I grew up, Amy and I both grew up here in Austin. I married my high school sweetheart, and we've been together for what seems like forever. I mean, 18 years, 19 years, 18. No, my best friend, we met when we were in high school. I work in event production and marketing, which is basically saying I both throw big, crazy parties for a living. I work with festivals, things like that. And we build big, silly things that you find in grass fields at festivals. So, let's see. I am an avid supporter of the Barcelona Football Club, which is soccer for all of you Americans here. If you ever want to talk about that in depth, at length, I would be happy to. I practice a lot of yoga, and I swim year-round at Barton Springs. So if you ever would like to come and join us for that, too, it's very fun.
This past year we started this group called the Seasoned Friends, which is a group for 40 and over. One of the things that we've been talking through is this framework of first half and second half of life spirituality. And, you know, the idea is that with first half of life spirituality, you spend a lot of energy and time in building these structures, right, to kind of hold what your beliefs are. And you invest a lot of energy into that. And then at some point, you come into second half of life and you realize that reality doesn't really match up with a lot of the things that you've constructed. And so it begins this process of, you know, reconstruction and trying to ask questions that we've never asked before. And I feel like that's been a helpful thing for us in our journey, kind of going into second half of life. But for you, maybe kind of share what your first half of life spirituality was like, kind of what, you know, were some of the foundational things for you early on in your faith?
Well, I grew up going to Catholic church as a child. My mom is from the Philippines, and so there's sort of a double whammy on that because you're Filipino, and all Filipinos are, of course, Catholic, at least that was told to me. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually rather accurate. And I think it's a very common story, is what we've heard with some of the people that have spoken before, is that, you participate, and a lot of your belonging, a lot of my belonging in that room was directly linked to either participation or achievement. If you had completed certain things, then, you know, there was a certain recognition that came along with that. And then the aspiration after that was to complete some more things. And it was generally a positive experience. And I did all the deals. I was an altar boy for a long time. So if you ever need me to hold your iPad while you read, I'm really good at that.
Think about that.
Yeah. I'll just block everybody's view. That's the problem. Anyway. Growing up, it was something that you participated in. It's something that I believe that, you know, in hindsight, when I look back at that stage in my life, it was something that I conformed to. And that belonging in church was directly related to either achieving in church or participating in it.
How about you, Amy? What's your kind of first half of life?
Sure. I grew up mostly in the Baptist church, and similar story of growing up in a church that with a family that was very active. I think the thing that I knew growing up is that I was special to God. And I think that was a beautiful thing growing up, feeling that sense of comfort and identity as someone who was God's beloved. And that really hasn't changed. But I think that growing up, there was also a lot of spiritual elitism or religious elitism. And some of that, I think, came from the church, but also from my family. I came from a family where most of the men on my dad's side of the family had been Baptist pastors or music leaders.
my great-grandfather started a lot of the Baptist churches here in town and all over the state. And so there was a deep sense of cultural heritage, too, I think, that was tied into being Baptist. And so I value that time because I learned a lot of scripture. There was a lot of focus on memorization, and there was a lot of focus on knowing all the hymns in our family. That was a big part of it. When we would get together, my great aunt was usually on the piano, and for hours, my family would be on the piano singing songs, singing hymns. And so that was really knowing church culture, knowing the Bible, knowing hymns, and being present were really valued. At the same time, I think that there was, I guess the other side of that was, also, I think, a judgmentalism that had grown in of me feeling very special to God, but also needing to tell others about the right way to be special to God. And it was very rule oriented for me.
And then how would you describe sort of that shift once kind of moving into second half of life spirituality? Like what's been the impact and what's been the experience for you both?
Well, when we were both in high school, Young Life came to our high school at the same time, and it kind of hit us at a period in time, and I guess when, you know, a season in life that where you're just as a person shifting sort of your junior, senior year of high school, there's a lot of change. But for the first time for me, I actually heard the story of Christ and his grace and his love. Now that, and that's not an indictment of the Catholic Church that I grew up in. I just don't know if my heart and my ears were open to it. It's not that I didn't hear it. It's not that it wasn't ever presented to me. I don't think I was in the place where I heard it. And I did. And a lot of things were changing at the time, but I had never known, people who were pursuing me individually and were concerned with my well-being, not only physically and emotionally, but also spiritually. And that they were concerned and motivated by the fact that God loves them, and they wanted me to know that he loves me as well. It was a very transformative time, and it came in, to that. It was just a new narrative that I had never heard before, and it definitely transformed and kind of entered into the second half of life from there.
I can also talk about Young Life coming in. I think for me, one of the things that was really powerful about Young Life started at our high school our junior year, and the woman who came and started it is still one of my mentors and good friends. And I think that one of the things that she brought into that space was the idea of grace. It was a word that was given such new and fresh meaning for me. And I watched so many of my friends start to walk with Christ in a way that I had never experienced, that was free from a lot of the rules and a lot of the cultural construct that I had been given, that it was really about having this joy in Christ, that we could follow him. And getting to see that was really powerful for me. And it also forced me to start looking at the things that I had been told that I had to do in order to follow Christ. And to start realizing that a lot of those things were keeping me from experiencing really the joy that I was getting to see my friends have.
And then, you know, you started wrestling with a few things, mm-hmm. had kind of new questions came up for you. Can you maybe kind of talk us through some of that process?
Sure.
For you?
Probably in the past, I would say 7 or 8 years, we've always attended churches where, the church has taken a position that only men can teach from the pulpit. And through a series of different things that had happened, one being that the woman who is our Young Life leader, she moved to a church in California where, after having gone and gotten her master's and PhD, she is now part of the teaching team at that church. And seeing her move into that position really started making me question and revisit, what do I believe about women teaching from the pulpit in churches? And so, and at the same time, there were some churches in Dallas that were revisiting the question. And then also being active in Young Life, it's a ministry where men and women are both given the opportunity to serve in all roles. There's not specific roles that are designated for specific genders. And so in my wrestling with that, I started to really, I was encouraging the women who I was mentoring, who were Young Life leaders, to continue working up and asking for bigger roles and asking for more opportunities to speak. And I was advocating for them and I was encouraging them. And at the same time, there was this disconnect that was starting to happen because I was participating in a church body where that role wouldn't be given to women within the church. And I had just never had that modeling of what it looked like in the church to have women also speaking from the pulpit. So it was something that I was wrestling with. And I came to a point too after we had our son where it was something where I started to feel strongly that it was something that I wanted him to see modeled as well, to have that opportunity to experience church where both men and women speak. And it was something that I wanted as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you were describing, I know having a child, you know, impacts a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And especially in both of your journeys of faith, you know, that had an impact and even played a part in how you connected here at Vox. You know, how did that sort of experience for you when you first connected here at Vox?
Mm. Let's see. Should I talk about how we got here? You want me to scoot that? Okay. I think that, I can talk about it a little bit. So really in that wrestling, it was kind of an interesting thing to be wrestling with this idea of women leading. And at the same time, being in a church where that really wasn't a conversation that would have been something that the others in the church were really wrestling with. So it was definitely something that I was wrestling with, something on my own more often than not. And also, just in conversations with, women who are on Young Life staff and the women who were mentoring me. And at the same time, we started having some really strong trials, trying to help Jonah understand how to be a part of church at the church that we were at. And, when we were going through them, it was really hard to understand what was happening. But looking back, I could see that they were trials really, about God, pulling me out of a prideful position that I had taken. And that prideful position was that I had elevated, remaining faithful to a specific church body, above remaining faithful to my call, to Christ. And so the day that, I recognized that I had built up this huge amount of pride, that I was going to stay faithful to a space, above anything else that was happening, God really released me to feel like we can explore other church bodies and I can see where God is calling us as a family to go and attend. And so when we arrived at Vox, the first Sunday, it was really beautiful. We got in the car and we were driving home and Jonah just said, I love that. I loved being there. I love where we just went. I love church. And that was a really beautiful thing. It was kind of an affirmation after a long struggle of trying to figure out how to help him understand church and understand that part of walking with God.
Yeah. And in some ways you're kind of coming full circle, right? It's, you know, now that you're investing in your own child's kind of first half of life spirituality, you want to be able to lay some groundwork for a healthier experience in a lot of ways, right? And so what does that mean for you guys? Like, what's your hope as you covenant with Vox?
Well, I think one thing that you definitely figure out in the second half of life is that you spend the first half developing that construct that you're talking about. You get a lot of education, you get a lot of structure, you get a lot of sort of people pointing you in the right direction, and then just sort of sets you out under the sea, and there you go, like, have fun. And so in the second half is, I think, where both Amy and I found where Christ lives, like where an incarnate God lives, and that's in relationship. It's when you enter into a relationship with people, and not just people who are like myself or agree with myself. It's when you enter into a relationship with your angry landlord or your, you know, the person that you work with, or even small children and older people, that when I look at the biblical stories of Christ, one of the themes are is that he enters into personal relationships with people who exist on the outside. And so it's a, for me, by the transitive property, I think Jesus really lives in those spaces in relationship. And so I, Amy and I are both excited to enter into a covenant membership here because we want to kind of live and not kind of, we want to live and work, and love and suffer and celebrate together because in our experience, that's where God lives. He doesn't just live in a building. He doesn't just live in some sort of dogmatic cultural construct. The more and more we've been in relationship with people, whether they be mentoring people or just in community group or just living as neighbors or working alongside them or going to church or whatever the case might be, you know, all of those lines in the sand, they just kind of get blown away, like with the wind. You know, when you draw a line in the sand in the desert and it goes away. It just boom, and you figure out what's really important to you, like drinking water and staying alive. And so, those lines don't disappear unless I'm in relationship and then figure out what's really good. So in terms of covenanting with Vox, we're really excited to walk alongside, to share our gifts, to lessen burdens, to make life more full. And then also, to be honest, to ask for help, because there's something beautiful in the body of Christ by being able to ask, we need help. Like, this is really hard. And when we showed up here with Jonah, we needed help, because that time that when we drove home and he said, I love this, he had never loved going to church in his entire life. And I thought, we are sealed to a fate of every the majority of people when they talk about their childhood in Christianity, is that I went to church because I had to. And I don't want that to be the case. So, anyway, we covenant to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for sharing your stories. If anyone needs to throw a festival in their backyard, he can build some crazy stuff for you. Yeah.
But you might need to build kind of a big budget for that.
Sure. That too. But thank you both for sharing. So those were just some of the stories of some of the new members that are joining. But we do have a few more that are joining. So I'm going to ask, I'm just going to call your names. And as I do, just stand up and remain standing. So first we have Autumn Barker, whom you met. We had Jetta Bragg, whom you also met. We also have Joel and Jessica Goodman. Joel's doing sound for us. Thank you. Sarah Gamble. And then we have Eric and Mary Gomez, who are actually out of town this weekend. They're in Dallas. Rachel Mouton. And then John and Amy Patillo, whom you just met. And then Shane Selstrom. Jordan and Natalie Vanderhaar. And last but not least, Rebecca Younger, who's actually just recently married. So, so as we welcome these new covenant members, I want to invite us to participate in the covenant prayer together. And just to give a heads up, there's going to be some multiple parts to this, multiple responses. So just kind of follow the heading so you know when to respond. I'm going to ask the staff and any NAV members who are here this morning if you could come up and join me in this prayer. All right, let us pray. Father, as you so loved us, let us love one another so that others will see you living in us, and may your love be made complete in us. Jesus, you have called us to follow and be your disciples. Convert us from your self-centeredness to a life centered in you, from life on our own to life with each other, from closed doors and fences to loving our neighbors, from claiming ownership and greed to living simply and sharing freely. As leaders in the community, we commit to a life of servanthood. We covenant to facilitate this calling of life together, to shepherd, teach, empower, and care towards God's purposes in the world. May this love and witness call others to your kingdom. Amen. Let's welcome our new members. So for those of you who are interested in becoming covenant members, we usually have an orientation in the fall. So keep your eye and ears open for that. But let me close with this prayer before we move in to the rest of our liturgy. Oh God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as you loved us, giving of your life to find life, dying so that we may live. And may we follow in that way that you've set before us, that we may give of our lives to find life, dying so that others may live. Reveal your glory in our love of both friend and enemy, in communities transformed by grace and led by your Spirit. May we follow in the way of your risen Son and to care for those who are our companions, not only with words of comfort, but with acts of love. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.